time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Today on my show, the series Mountains and Minerals, the topic is weathering, erosion, deposition. So let's get right into it so that we can see how dynamic our Earth truly is. So the first topic is, does soil make rocks or does rock make soil? So let's take this. If I was to take two sedimentary rocks, two mudstones, some of you may call them brownstones. You see brownstone buildings, brownstone church, but they're truly called mudstone. And if I was to take them and rub them together and you looked at it, well, what would I have? Well, actually, because rocks are made up of minerals, I'd have a big old pile of minerals sitting right there. And it couldn't be soil because in my equation, soil equals rocks plus organic material. So you'd have that weathered rock material and the organic material matter, and that's how you'd get soil. So I'm going to give you a couple definitions, but I make them simple definitions. Yes, I can give you the long book definition, but I'm going to give you definitions that say, wow, put this in your memory, get it there. So let's talk about weathering. My simple definition, it's the wearing away of rock material. Well, let's figure out, so how are they worn away? But first, you should know that this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now we can talk about the agents that actually weather rock. What wears them away? I'm going to give you them in order from largest to smallest. First one is water. And when we talk about water, let's now talk about the Colorado River. If any of you have ever been out to the Grand Canyon, and people say, wow, the Grand Canyon, and really, it is grand. Cowboys call it the big old hole in the ground. So you're out there, you're looking down. They have that glass platform that you can walk out on, your little booties on. You look down there if you're not afraid of heights. It is a really, really neat look. You're looking that out. Well, the Grand Canyon itself is actually a series of 17 different canyons, the Grand being the largest and all the others. So think about this. Think about the volume of water that actually goes into the Colorado River. Now, picture this, that millions of years ago, the Colorado River was at the top. It has worn away the wearing away of rock material. It has worn away the sides. So when you look a mile down into the canyon, you're going, holy moly, that river looks tiny. Well, if you ever go down to that river, it is roaring. Really cool thing. And if you've never whitewater rafted the Colorado, it is a great thing to do. They have all these different trips, and you can do overnights. And some of them are themed where overnight you'll go to one area. They actually have all your camping gear set up for you. You're ready to roll. They may have a Western night, and then another night they may have a Mexican night. So you're eating all these different foods along the river. Really cool deal. And that'd be one of my suggestions to get out there just because America has so many cool places to see. But the piece going back to the weathering is it is a very powerful thing when you think about water. Now, I was in, let's think about this. We were on the AT and we were down in Virginia and we were walking along, hiking along this, backpacking along actually, this series of waterfalls going up. And one of them was like, if you've ever been on like one of those log rides or whatever, when we were taking our Ensolite pads, the pads under a sleeping bag, and just curling them up and riding down a waterfall that went, on a diagonal into a deep pool. And it was so smooth because the water had worn away the rock material. And, it also depends on the rock material. Is it sedimentary, which is very soft, or is it igneous, which is harder? Is it metamorphic, which is really hard? So it really depends on rock, but any one of them, it still will wear it away. So now let's go to the second agent, and the second weathering agent happens to be wind. So let's take a look. If you were standing on a beach during a very, very windy day, and I'm sure many of you had been on a beach, and you're actually feels like you're getting pelted with the sand, it hurts. Well, now picture yourself, and I'll just use you're out in Arizona, and you happen to be standing there, and you happen to be a sedimentary rock. And the wind is now blowing, but it's picking up bits of soil and sediment, and it's hitting the rock. So it actually acts like a sandpaper and wears it away. And that's why we get in the Southwest so many cool rock formations, and it really is a result of the wind agent. Now, let's go to the third one. Some people say ice, but we're talking glaciers. So let me give you a glacier fact that people need to know. Because if I ask people, what makes up a glacier? How is a glacier formed? And they go, ice and ice and ice. Well, glaciers are actually made of compacted snow. So it takes thousands of years, and you got the snow being compacted down, and then it is frozen. So when you are drinking, people say, oh, I am drinking glacier water, and I think that's a brand of water out there. Don't quote me on that one. Well, if you're really truly drinking glaciated water, and again, I've been doing my research up in the top of the Rockies, grizzly bears, etc., and when you're up there and you are drinking water that's running off a glacier, and that water is thousands of years old. It is so neat. And if you're taking it right off the glacier, you don't even need to water filter it. But once it hits any piece of land, because ungulates, hooved animals, and they carry in their hooves because their hooves stay a little moist inside there, you'll get some Giardia build up in there, bacteria that will give you les poo-poos. So please be careful with that. So, but if you're just drinking glaciated water, that's right off the glacier, and I have. That's a great thing. Now, let's go to lakes. And you talk about the Great Lakes and the reason why they're called the Great Lakes. They were carved out by glaciers. Some of the Great Lakes, my wolf research, I'm paddling in water in a canoe not far from shore, and it's 500 feet deep. So glaciers can carve out, they can wear away quite a bit of rock material. And there really is a fourth agent. And the fourth agent, we say, is gravity. So you got the first three, the water, the wind, and the glaciers, and proportionately, water is huge, wind smaller, glaciers smaller. Well, let's go to gravity. And gravity means you might just get a rock rolling down a hill, and as it's rolling down the hill, you'd say, well, it would wear away. Well, I was out on the Snake River, fly fishing guide, my good buddy Fred and I, we're in a drift boat going down. They look at these big old banana boats, really cool. So I'm standing and I'm fly fishing along, and catching some real big fish, which makes my life very happy at that point in time. So while that's going on, I hear this sound, and I know exactly what it is. And I told everyone, be quiet. And the guy's going, I know. I go, shh, shh. And you're listening, and you're hearing all this, like just this, bloop, bloop. Sorry for my little sounds there. But it was a number of rocks by the thousands. Some of them are probably like as big as your pinky fingernail, your thumbnail, and they were just rolling down the side of the banks. It was, you know, obviously on the Snake Rivers, you got the Grand Tetons there, rolling off, and the bloops were them falling into the water. But by the thousands, they were rolling down, and I actually got to see, again, you always read in the book about, you know, different types of weathering erosion and all these different things. I got to see and to hear. Sometimes some of the hearing things are really cool. And going back to those glaciers just for a second, with glaciers, you say, well, how does it wear away? When a glacier, which weighs, you know, hundreds of millions of tons, and it is slowly going down a mountain, it will run over everything, and it will wear away the rock material that is there. It will basically beat up the plants that are there that's going down. And if you ever notice that we have some of the most fertile soil in the world in valleys, well, you go, how did that become fertile? It's because soil was made, because go back to my equation, weathered rock plus organic matter got worn away going down the side of a mountain and ended up where? It ended up in, ding, 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 ding. It ended up in the valley. So that's a really neat thing. So now let's jump over to erosion. And weathering was the wearing away. And here's my simple definition for erosion. It is the carrying away. So it's going to carry away that rock material. And there are three transport agents for erosion. So watch this, the transport agents. The number one by far is water, and I will discuss that in a little bit. The number two is wind. The number three is glaciers. Sound familiar? So the same things that wear away are the same things that carry away. Now, if you were to think about erosion, the carrying away, so let's take a look at the Appalachian Mountains. through geologic time, they were one of the largest mountain ranges on Earth. Today, they are one of the smallest mountain ranges on Earth. So how did they get smaller? Because we see like cute old, little old guys and they get smaller. Well, it's not like that. There was the wearing away of rock material and then the carrying away of rock material over time. So let's go back to that water. I don't know if any of you have been down to the bottom of the Mississippi River. You get down there by New Orleans. And if you were to stand on the edge of the Mississippi, look out on the other side, it is amazingly, amazingly wide. Well, the volume of water, because if you take a look at our map, because everyone just wants the GPS things, and take a look at a real map of the United States, and when you look at it, and you see how large the Mississippi River is, and then how many tributaries, you know, are going in, other rivers going into it, and the volume of that water. And if I said, Gary, get down there, and let's scoop out a glass of the water, and you scooped it out, it would almost have like this chocolatey brown, and people are like, oh my goodness, it's polluted. Ain't wrong. It is, well, some of it may be polluted, can't help with that part of it, but if you were to take a look at it, it is filled with sediment because it is now being transported down. So somewhere upriver, there was the wearing away. Well, now it's the carrying away, that erosion, being carried down river. So if you were to, I'll just say use a coffee filter. So you took, you know, the scooped the glass out, had a coffee filter inside another glass, poured it in, you would get, you know, not pure water, but quite a bit of, you know, clearer looking water, and your coffee filter would have, you know, taken in a lot of that sediment there. So if you were to take a look at, you know, Bryce and Zion National Park, two of my favorite places, you know, Backpacker Magazine always has like the top 10 places to hike or backpack in the country, and Bryce and Zion are always in that top 10, very near each other, very near the Grand Canyon. So if you wanted to do, and one of our trips many years ago was a great hiking trip, and we hiked the Grand Canyon, we hiked Bryce and Zion, and I'd say if you're looking for a great vacation trip, that is one to go to. But if you looked at the features that are going on in Bryce, and it is Bryce Canyon National Park, well, that's a mistake because when we think about canyons, we say that rivers cut out or make canyons. Bryce was actually carved by underwater currents millions of years ago, so it was a, I'll call it a bowl-shaped hole. And you had these underwater currents, once again, they were wearing away. And then as the water left, because we had all these transgressions, waters on the earth, moving off the earth, you know. So, well, with that happening, that's how you have all those features. And now you get a lot of the sediment being picked up by wind, and because it's sedimentary rock, and carving all these really, oh, really, 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 really cool shapes in there. You need to see that. And then when you go to Zion National Park, and it's all that red rock, and I've ridden horseback through some of the canyons. Actually drove back, or not drove, but rode back on a horse to a historic site in the middle of nowhere. You know, you've heard of the Outlaws, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Well, there was an actual hideout in a little cave. You know those little historic signs that you see along the side of the road? Well, there was one on the side of, like, the middle of nowhere, USA, on the side of by a cave, historic site, and talk all about, you know, the historic, you know, Butch would steal cattle, posse's chasing him, and he had a little cave to go hide in. So there is that. Again, I have to give you the historic facts that go along with, you know, everything too, because that's sort of who I am. So now you've got this wearing away, this carrying away. Well, somewhere it's going to have to be deposited. And with that word deposit, listen to the term deposition. And deposition is a laying down of weathered material. It's basically soil deposits. So now let's go back to the Mississippi River. Let's go snorkeling into the Gulf of Mexico. And now let's put our scuba gear and go further down. And as we go down, you would actually see sediments falling and falling into the Gulf. Because when you have fast-moving water, all right, here's the erosion side of it, sediments get carried. But as the water slows down, you start to see them settling down to the bottom. And as they're getting to the bottom, it is actually building up there in the Mississippi River. And in the next 10,000 years, so if you're around in 10,000 years, contact me via Twitter, because you can always tweet me at Joey B Outdoors. That's J-O-E-B-E-E Outdoors. And you can always tweet me a message or a comment anyway, or in the next 10,000 years, whichever you like to do. Well, when you're seeing down there and it's actually building up, in about 10,000 years, it will break the surface of the Gulf of Mexico. And as it breaks the surface, it will actually create a land barrier. I know that we can't allow this to happen because that is one of our major shipping lanes. So that's not going to happen. Hey, and hopefully we are taking care of this earth so we are around in 10,000 years. But think about the topics: weathering, erosion, deposition. The show, Minerals, Mountains. Put it all together, you've got one spectacular dynamic earth. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Joey B's Outdoor Adventure.
That was awesome.